Saturday with Conor Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.
Paul Chirash, we know now that not only will President Joe Biden visit Belfast in the coming weeks, but Bill and Hillary Clinton also intend to visit to mark the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. Joe Biden met the leaders of all five main political parties from Northern Ireland in Washington over the course of the past couple of days, reiterating to them his belief that the Windsor framework is the best way forward. John Tong is Professor of British and Irish Politics at the University of Liverpool and author of The Democratic Unionist Party, From Protest to Power. He joins me now. Good afternoon to you, John Tong.
Good afternoon.
That was the title of your book, indeed, From Protest to Power, but from protest to protest at the moment. Do you think that any of the pressure that was applied this week will do anything to change the mind of the DUP to re-enter the executive at Stormont?
Probably not. I mean, it's an extraordinary situation where America is waiting on the DUP. Europe is waiting on the DUP and the UK government's waiting on the DUP, but there's still no indication the DUP are going to say yes to the Windsor framework. The fact is that the DUP's got to confront the fact that the deal is going to be implemented. Rishi Sunak's problems don't lie at Westminster. There'll be a vote on the Stormont break, one aspect of the Windsor framework next week. That will sail through because the Labour opposition has made clear it will back the deal. But the DUP still does have that veto over devolved power sharing in the north. And at the moment, the DUP looks split, really. I mean, many of its assembly members have been pretty quiet about the deal, but have certainly not said no to it. Whereas the MPs, Geoffrey Donaldson's Westminster team, have been quite vocal. Sammy Wilson, Ian Paisley, Gregory Campbell have all come out against the deal. They've got less skin in the game, of course, than those assembly members whose livelihoods are at stake if devolved power sharing is not restored at some point.
But I suppose if there is an internal debate in the DUP and party unity rides on their position on the Windsor framework, are they more likely to say no to it than they are to have a debate that might result in them splitting?
I think there's clearly a debate. I mean, Geoffrey Donaldson has set up this 8-person panel, mainly friends of Geoffrey Donaldson, to consider it. But that official status as a decision-making body in the party is far from confirmed. It can only recommend to the party. Ultimately, the sovereign decision-making body in the DUP is the executive, which consists of constituency reps, Stormont MLAs, and the Westminster team. Now, you need a semblance of unity across those different elements of the party. I think that Geoffrey Donaldson is playing for time, basically. He said that the panel won't report till the end of the month, and even then, after that, there'll be some decision-making to be done within the DUP. So I don't think we're going to get a definite yes or no from the DUP by the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, which is not a deadline that really matters to the DUP because it's never formally said yes to the Good Friday Agreement. And I think we might be in that territory of no formal yes or no. Read the Windsor framework. It's possible the DUP may never formally say that they agree with the Windsor framework because it fails too many of the DUP's own 7 tests. But they might still be prepared to go back into Stormont, perhaps first on going into the Assembly and then agreeing to form an executive. At the moment, they're playing for time because they want further clarifications from the UK government. But those clarifications are not necessarily in the UK government's gift. The European Union is sticking to what it sees as its version of the text that has been agreed.
And what do you think Geoffrey Donaldson's own view on it is? And is he expressing that to anyone, or is this mostly a listening exercise from where he is at the moment? I mean, he says he still has concerns and he's still looking for changes to the protocol, which I think is a ship the British government and the European Union firmly believe has sailed.
Yeah, Geoffrey Donaldson's looking for clarification in various areas. The Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Chris Heaton-Harris, has offered clarification in one area where he said that if unionists object to new EU laws, the UK government will apply what's been termed the Stormont break, which is a partial veto, a potential veto that's built into the framework. Geoffrey Donaldson will be looking for more of the same, but it's difficult to see what other areas the UK government can offer such hope to the DUP that would negate aspects of the Windsor framework, those aspects that the DUP don't like. So Rishi Sunak's room for manoeuvre in that sense is limited. You can make a case that Rishi Sunak oversold the deal to the DUP, and the DUP is also very watchful on its right with a traditional unionist voice, which has taken out adverts in newspapers in the north today to argue exactly that Rishi Sunak has oversold the deal and that this Protocol Mark 2 is really Protocol Mark right. 1 with a few ribbons wrapped around it. But ultimately, I think the DUP, it's got to decide whether it's prepared to move the Unionist electorate in favour of this deal, because at the moment, the Unionist electorate actually backs the DUP stance. Is Geoffrey Donaldson prepared to take probably the biggest political gamble of his life and say, no, we'll go back into Stormont, we can shift the Unionist electorate, we can live with this deal? It may, you know, potentially split his party as well as those Unionist voters.
All right. John Tong, Professor of British and Irish Politics at the University of Liverpool. Many thanks for joining us. Louise O'Reilly, several members of your own party were over in Washington over mm-hmm. the past week. Do you think the visit by, or the impending visit by Joe Biden and the visit by the Clintons will help at all inject a bit of impetus into getting Stormont back up and running again?
It might. I suppose you'd probably say it wouldn't do any harm, but really the DUP brought the institutions down to influence the negotiations between the European Union and the British government. Those negotiations are now concluded, so you'd have to wonder what today's rationale is. You know, we had an election in the North. Michelle O'Neill emerged as the First Minister designate. She wants to get on with her work. She wants to roll her sleeves up, get the executive formed and start maximising the opportunities that are there, but also addressing the health crisis that is developing in the North, and also, you know, addressing issues around the cost of living. People want to see the executive back up and running. They want to see their MLAs coming into the assembly and working for them. That's what Sinn Féin is trying to do.
But the application of pressure on the DUP during the week in the US by expressions of support for the Windsor framework by Joe Biden and others, do you think that could backfire?
I don't think so. I think, you know, the US has always had an interest in the North and always had an interest in Ireland. I think it's open to the President to express a view on that. It's up to the DUP what they do. But I mean, really, we need to come back to the bread and butter issues in the North, which is what's exercising people's minds now, not what someone in Washington is saying. They want to see their MLAs back working. They want to see Michelle O'Neill to be appointed as the First Minister. She's the First Minister designate. She has done nothing since she was elected but try to bring the executive back together.
Lisa Chambers, the government was at pains to give the DUP space to make up its mind. Do you think that policy ended in Washington this week with a kind of an application of pressure on Geoffrey Donaldson?
I think the government were conscious that, you know, politically it's a very sensitive time. You know, when Micheál Martin made his keynote speech, he didn't actually address Geoffrey Donaldson specifically, but did speak about the Windsor framework and, you know, I suppose the need to progress on that. Listening to some of the remarks coming from Geoffrey Donaldson, it wouldn't fill you with hope. You know, he said there remains key areas of concern that require, and he says, further clarification, reworking and change, as well as seeing further legal text. So, you know, there's a lot there to be worked through, and I'm not sure there's much more flexibility that can be taken from the Brexit agreement that's there. You know, he highlights concerns around Northern Ireland's place in the UK market, and he again focuses on the fact that EU laws will continue to apply to Northern Ireland. So that's really referencing the ECJ having been the final court, the court of arbiters. So they're consistent really in the issues they're continuing to raise. We can't remove the ECJ as being the final court of arbiter. And he also said he wants further clarity on the Green Lane. That's probably the easiest one to solve. So I'm not really sure. I think politically it's a big gamble for him. I think internally within his own party, there's a lot there to be worked through. And I don't think he'll ever please all of his own party in any event. There's as much political pressure as he could bring to bear, and certainly the visit, or the impending visit of President Biden and Hillary and Bill Clinton is really welcome. I mean, it's fantastic for Ireland, it's fantastic for Northern Ireland.
Okay.
You know, the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement is something to be celebrated, so it would be fantastic to think that the institutions could be back up and running at that point. I think it would be amazing, but we're not there yet.
Right, Richard Boyd Barrett, are you excited about the US President's visit?
Not at all. In fact, I find it sort of deeply ironic, really, that the President of the United States might be perceived to play any particular role in bringing peace anywhere, when at the very same time, notwithstanding, of course, the horror of what Putin has done in Ukraine, that all the United States seem to want to do is to escalate that war. to bring it up to a sort of terrifying level. There's hundreds of thousands of people dying now. No effort by the United States to look for alternatives to war. You think about the US continued support for Israel despite the appalling atrocities it's committing week after week.
Sure, but on a case-by-case basis, people have to do business. People have to do business with Russia and China to get resolutions on the UN Security Council, like humanitarian access to Syria. That might not sit well with people, but on a case-by-case basis, sometimes business has to be done with people you don't like.
I'll tell you the force that is actually doing more to point in the direction of, you know, where we can begin to defeat the sectarian dinosaurs of the DUP who are holding everybody ransom in the north. It is the striking workers in the north. The teachers, the public sector workers, where you see Catholic and Protestant coming out on strike, fighting for decent pay, decent conditions. That is actually the force that can exercise
that's
influence.
That's a record two demonstrations you've got in a plug for, I think, this week.
People power is the thing that changes. And by the way, it was people power ultimately that brought us peace in the north. Okay. It was the desire of ordinary people in the north to break from the sort of sectarianism the DUP want to hang on to.
All right, which I'm sure they wouldn't characterise their politics as such. But anyway, that's all we have time for today.